Good afternoon, friends. You're listening to Conversations. This is a program that really is, it's a conversation between me, I'm Don Shire, and Dave Wager, the president of Silver Birch Ranch, located in White Lake, Wisconsin. We hope you're having a wonderful day. And Dave, how about you? You having a good day?
I am. It's good to be with you. And you travel so much, I don't see you, Don. So it's good when we get together. And obviously, these are not live recordings because we get together and do them together. When you're not in some foreign country, which happens to be a lot.
You know, Dave, it is interesting. We're neighbors, but I don't think I've seen you in a couple of months. Those of you listening, you've been listening to us, and you think we come into the studio every Sunday. Well, that's not quite true. We get together when I am in town, and we try to record conversations. You know, this whole program started because, Dave, you and I like to talk about things of the Lord.
Yeah.
We like to talk about things that influence our lives, things we're thinking about, and it's over 20 years ago now we started putting it on the air. And so today, I hope that the conversation that we'll have...
Yeah, you're older now.
Just a little bit.
Hey, you know, let me ask you a question before we get going
here. Right.
You minister in Cuba, right?
Yes, I have.
And there's a lot of stuff going on with Cuba right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to affect how you minister in Cuba? Do you know?
Well, you know, I don't think it'll affected a whole lot. I've had pretty free access to be able to get to Cuba with permission from our government. You know what concerns me, Dave, is we had an open door to Cuba many, many years ago. And one of the reasons they had the big revolution there was because we sent all our gangsters there. We really corrupted the island. And it was not in good shape when the revolution happened. And, you know, we like to look at it as something that was totally against us, so forth. But we kind of messed up there, in my opinion.
Yeah.
There might be some others that were around at that time. I was only a couple of years old. But we've had a chance in Cuba. And I guess my concern is if we are able to start going back there again openly, and have the freedom to just go there for vacation and build resorts and so forth, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to look at this as a wonderful opportunity to go share the love of God? Are we going to go and corrupt it again, with a lot of the worldly things that we see?
Now, Cuba's a pretty nice climate, right?
Cuba's beautiful, yes.
So that's why it attracted certain elements just to be there, and it's a small island, and they can... I mean, it's really interesting. The United States economy is kind of built on greed, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
I mean, we can talk about opportunity of that, and I believe that. I believe that, you know, there's entrepreneurs out there, and we I love rewarding entrepreneurs. Every once in a while, you know, I'll put one company against another, and one of my friends or my wife might say, you know what, they'll ask me what I'm doing. I say, this is America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can put this company against that one and get a cheaper deal.
Let them compete, yes.
And we actually begin to believe lies, you know.
Mm.
Like the customer's always right lie kind of thing. And I believe that about me if I'm a customer. You know, isn't it weird? I mean, if I call somewhere, I'm saying, hey, the customer's always right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, it doesn't matter what I think. I'm the customer, so I'm right. Mm. Did you ever think about, the other day I was sitting there trying to figure out, why is it that I would believe a lie and not believe the truth? I mean, I know people think you need to get out more or you need more of a life, but I was sitting there because I was about to speak to a group of men, and I'm trying to figure out, why is it that I believe a lie? I mean, there are lies, and it hit me. Lies usually have a reward associated with them. In other words, there's something that I'm going to gain immediately out of this. Esau with the bowl of porridge,
mm-hmm.
for example. You know, it's like, I'm going to die anyway,
and
I need to eat. So there's this lie, and there's this reward. And once the reward comes, some guy is having an affair or something, you know. It's like, okay, the lie is, well, you know what, God didn't mean me to be miserable, which is true, but not in that area. And before you know it, he's satisfying these desires a way that he shouldn't, but they satisfy him.
So what you're saying is quite often we lie to ourselves.
We lie to ourselves. Yes. There's this reward. The reward then reinforces it till it becomes a deception. And then the deception becomes what I would call our new reality,
mm-hmm.
which is dangerous.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you how that works. I mean, I have a young man that used to go to church, be a part of it, and now he's an atheist. And he's a very rich young man that lives in California. He works in investment banking and all that kind of stuff. And I've been going back and forth with him on different things. And one of the things he tells me is, I got a good life. I'm in the high life here. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm drinking. I don't mind drinking. I got money to do it. We go away on the weekends. I go to the casino, gamble. I can go to a mountain on the weekend and enjoy doing whatever I want. You know, Dave, you don't have this stuff. In other words, what he's saying is, I have a reward for what I'm doing. And because the reward is there, I'm believing the deception. For me, the reality is this.
He's getting his porridge.
Yeah. And here's what I've realized. Truth is the reward. You know, Jesus says, I am the truth. Truth is the reward. For example, I can say, no, you know what? Just having a steak. There's nothing wrong with a steak. You can enjoy a steak. Nothing wrong with it. But if you're determining that you're not okay because you can't afford a steak like somebody else, see, what you're doing is allowing the reward to frame what's right or wrong. How did the Apostle Paul go through shipwrecks and all kinds? Because the truth was his reward. Mm-hmm. If the truth is your reward, then the circumstances of life don't dictate you. And eventually, here's what happens. The truth, without a reward, the truth reveals reality. Otherwise, it has to go from the lie to the reward to the deception to reality. Mm-hmm. But the truth is a straight line to reality. That's what it is. And then reality is your reward. That's the reward. So, for example, in marriage, you can believe whatever you want about marriage. Young people get married and they think, I'm getting married for my sake. I'm getting married because I have needs and this person's going to meet them. All right. So they get married and what's the reward? Their needs are met. So their deception is fueled. So they think marriage is about them. Mm-hmm. God says that we don't do that. Marriage is not about me.
Do you think sometimes, Dave, that we lie to ourselves even with our prayers?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I was just kind of thinking about, you asked me about Cuba. When I go to Cuba, I go to churches. People are standing in line to get into church because there's not enough room.
Right.
And when was the last time you saw that here? And I think sometimes when we pray here, we pray for revival in America.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we're praying for revival of economy.
Right.
We want revival of things that are going to benefit us.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes what we need to realize is when we pray for revival, it's very possible that God is going to answer that prayer by bringing us to our knees,
yeah,
to where we have nowhere else to turn, which is, I believe, is what happened in Cuba. They had nowhere else to turn except to look up. And now we're seeing great revival taking place in Cuba now for several years.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I do think that, you know, Satan always works from the outside in. God works from the mind to the body. Satan works from the body to the mind. And that's very important to understand.
In other words, explain that.
Well, my body has certain things it likes. Steak, for example. My body likes comfort. My body likes... So the physical world, which is the prince of the power of the air, I mean, he works through the physical to try and capture the mind. The lure, the comfort, whatever. While God works through the mind to capture the body. So Dave Wager can say no to the flesh because he has thought about it and et cetera. What's interesting is if you look at like the book of Jeremiah, I think it's the 35th, 34th, 5th, 6th chapters, whatever, Jeremiah has been isolated. And because he's isolated, he's been listening to God. And he comes out with a message that's very powerful there. And I think what you see is then God comes later and says, you know why the people are in trouble? Two things. They have not inclined their ear to me, and they did not hear me. Those are two things. Inclining your ear, setting it up so that you can hear God, and then deciding you're going to listen to him when you do hear him. In the United States of America and all over the world, I don't think we've inclined our ear to God anymore.
Hmm.
We're going to watch on a Super Bowl Sunday, you know, 8 hours of football, but we don't have time for God. We haven't inclined our ear, and then we haven't listened to him in the first place.
Hmm. Great thoughts, Dave. We'll kind of carry on next week, I guess. You're listening to Conversations. We're almost out of time here. I'm Don Shire. You've been listening to Dave Wager, president of Silver Birch Ranch. If you'd like to know more about this wonderful ministry, this camp ministry, this college ministry, go to www.silverbirchranch.org. Again, that's Silver Birch Ranch. www.cubaranch.org. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again.